Chapter 2.
Bruce was frustrated. He had spent almost a full week on the Kryptonian ship, but despite his best efforts, he wasn't able to get any data from their systems. Between his times with Kal-El, he hadn't been confined to their room, but between the fact that he was unfamiliar with how their tech worked, and the fact that he had no way to tell if there were cameras watching him, he came out of it with nothing. Tomorrow, the week was over, and as per the agreement between the alien and Earth diplomats, Bruce was to leave for home, go back to work as if nothing had changed. It had. Something inside him had shifted, like the tectonic plates that held his core had moved. He was different. Not unstable. But he had yet to adjust to his new balance. And Kal-El was to come with him. It would be a problem. While Bruce could not access the Kryptonians' data, he did have access to the U.S. government's. There were notes in it about Earth's sun changing the aliens, making them stronger, giving them some sort of power. It was noted that the Kryptonians gave them this information freely, but they did not give details as to what exactly these powers would be. It would be a problem. The Batcave was under the manor. Alfred was there. Dick was there. And Bruce still didn't know what their alien visitors wanted, whether he could trust them, or his new husband. Kal was a new variable, one Bruce could neither predict nor control. Like lightning in a storm, if it struck just the right spot, fire would burst to life, and the blaze would consume everything in its path, despite all precautions taken to prevent it. He would be vulnerable, and that would be a problem. In the days since their first time being intimate, and despite Bruce's effort, it was intimate, he had bared more of himself than he had meant to. Bruce had struggled to pull back from Kal, to keep that distance he had promised himself. He was too close, the edges of himself rubbing up against Kal's, just like the plates subducting into the mantle. When he slipped, and when he revealed too much, his world would move. It would shake apart. The secrets Bruce kept close would tumble down and crush the order he carefully cultivated in his life. Just like the tremors from an earthquake destroyed buildings that everyone thought had an unbreakable foundation. So when Alfred called him that night and said, "I have booked a cabin outside of Gotham for the next 3 days. After all, what is a wedding without a proper honeymoon?" The tempest brewing somewhere deep inside Bruce calmed, the lashing winds dissipating and leaving the horizon calm. The storm still on the horizon, but abated for now. While Alfred didn't speak it playingly over the phone, who knew if the Kryptonians were listening in, Bruce understood his plan. This gave him time. Time to observe Kal-El, to try to judge the other man's motives. And it gave Alfred time to secure the cave. Time for him to prep Dick. To make sure that Bruce's ward, his family, would be safe. Kal was mesmerized by the greenery flashing past the window as Bruce drove them to their destination. Krypton had a few nature preserves, but they were man-made, each tree and shrub carefully placed for maximum aesthetic pleasure. Kal had never seen a forest like this. Lush, verdant green surrounded the road they drove on, trees growing in clusters with bushes interspersed, yellow flowers speckled in between them. It was wild, unorganized, and so, so beautiful. Despite the fact that this forest had grown freely, without any hands trying to curate it, there seemed to be a sort of balance to it. The drive was quiet, the hum of the car engine the only sound. Bruce was silent, his eyes focused on the road ahead of him. They had spent a week together on the ship, but the man still felt like a stranger to him. Sure, Bruce had talked to him, had shared things with him, stories of his work, teaching Kal things about Earth. But through it all, Bruce never shared anything truly personal. Bruce was flighty, easily distracted. Or, at least, he wanted Kal to think that. Kal didn't know where the feelings that Bruce was hiding came from, but it tugged at his gut, pulling at some truth Kal knew but couldn't grasp. The shape of it was there, but like the sharp gleaming of the icebergs that speckled the north, Kal could only see the tip of it. He turned away from the forest surrounding him to gaze at Bruce, but he couldn't bring himself to break the silence. He couldn't find the words he needed to reach Bruce. The person under the obfuscation. The real Bruce. All too soon, the car pulled up into a gravel driveway. A large wooden structure sat in front of them. It was strange. It seemed to be built of whole trees, with grooves cut out so they could interlock. Compared to Kryptonian buildings, it was primitive. Even compared to the buildings they had left behind in Metropolis, it was primitive. But Cal saw beauty in it, the simplicity of it, the dark red hue of the wood, the gleam of the sunlight on the glass windows, the paved path leading up to the cabin. Cal startled as his car door opened. He looked up to see Bruce holding the handle, a warm smile on the other man's face. Bruce waved one hand towards the cabin and said, "I know it doesn't look like much, but my butler thought you would enjoy seeing the parts of Earth that aren't covered by metal and concrete." Bruce's smile was wide, showing off his perfect teeth, and it crinkled the sides of his eyes. It was clearly practiced, but nonetheless, Cal could feel a warmth in it. Like the varnish on the wood of the cabin, it was polished, a facade of perfection. But the feeling underneath it was real. Cal squinted as the sun shone behind Bruce, haloing him. And he swore he saw a swirling blue behind the other man's head, surrounding him in a haze reminiscent of the stars Cal traveled through to arrive here. But when Cal blinked, it disappeared. Bruce reached a hand out to Cal, and he could feel a heat rush up to his face. He took Bruce's hand and let the other man help him out of the car. It was strange. On Krypton, Cal was different, and that meant that he was avoided, if not outright shunned. Having someone's attention, having Bruce's attention, was new. It made Cal nervous. It set his stomach swooping and his heart racing. It was thrilling. Cal hadn't known what to expect from Earth, from its people, and while being sent to represent Krypton, to help save his race, was stressful, Cal was starting to think that finding Bruce would make it all worth it. The cabin was perfect. Alfred had chosen well. But then again, Alfred's meticulous planning always paid off. The cabin was remote, and the property large, perfectly suited to keeping their privacy. You could only see nature in every direction, but it wasn't far enough from Gotham proper that Bruce couldn't return quickly if an emergency arose. Aside from that, it was peaceful. Bruce spent so much time in Gotham that he hadn't realized how long it had been since he wasn't surrounded by noise. Sirens, gunshots, cars. It was all absent now. Bruce wasn't the only one who seemed to enjoy it. Kal-El was mesmerized, standing close to the north wall of windows with unmatched awe. On Krypton, even the nature is controlled. Bruce knew what Kal actually meant to say was manufactured. Bruce could see it. A world of perfect order, symmetry in everything, a balance created by Kryptonians and carefully calculated to be perfect. It sounded unsettling. Bruce kept his life in a careful order he carved out inch by inch. But having every part of your world, of your life, crafted before you were even born, sounded horrible. Bruce had built himself up from the wreckage left behind from trauma. He would not give that up for what a society built on thousands of years of dystopian perfection. Bruce watched Cal out of the corner of his eye as he prepared a simple lunch. Cal's eyes would roam around the cabin, to Bruce, but inevitably they were always drawn back to the windows. "It's wild and uncontained, but there is a symmetry to it," Cal whispered. Bruce didn't think before he responded, his focus drawn to Cal sitting in front of the window. The sun was shining on him, and it emphasized the square cut of his jaw, the unearthly glow of blue in his eyes. "There's this mathematical theory called the golden ratio," he started. Kal-El turned to face him, and the wonder the man's gaze held while looking outside stayed there. That expression now aimed at Bruce. It hit him somewhere deep. There was a rumbling inside him, like something wanted to shift again, like it would shift again. Like a restless tide inside of him, churning waves whipped up by the change inside him. A billowing storm on the horizon. Bruce looked away,
focusing on the tomatoes he was cutting for their sandwiches. When drawn out, it looks like a sort of spiral, and you can see it everywhere in nature once you start to look. Bruce shouldn't have brought it up. It wasn't something that airhead Brucey Wayne would know. But the sandwiches lay forgotten as Bruce pulled out his phone and showed Kal-El pictures of the composition that lived in their nature. Kal's hand brushed Bruce's as he turned the phone towards himself. When Bruce looked up and met Kal-El's eyes, the Kryptonian beamed, and it was like looking into the sun. Kal stood in the hallway of the cabin, the gentle light from the moon shining behind him, and felt frozen. To his left was the bedroom Bruce had walked into, and to the right was another empty bedroom. When he and Bruce had explored the cabin earlier, Kal found that the extra bedroom was stocked with clothing in typical Earth styles and sizes tailored for him. But when Bruce had brought their things in, he had placed Kal's bag in the main bedroom. Kal knew why he was here on Earth. Bruce had clearly not been opposed to mating, but the last day they had been on the ship, they hadn't had sex. Kal didn't know how to take that. So he stood, torn between the two rooms, not knowing which was the right option. Kal didn't know Bruce well. They had been together, with very little separation, for a week on the ship. Bruce might want his space, Kal thought to himself. It was rational. It was reasonable. Kal shouldn't feel anxious about sleeping by himself. But he was alone. His family left behind on Krypton, and the diplomats he arrived with were back on the ship in Metropolis. While Kal had learned much about Earth in his time here, there were still so many things he did not know. Bruce was his only connection on this blue planet, millions of miles from the place he called home. His feet were planted firmly on the ground, but he was more ardently adrift than a rudderless boat in the waves. Kal turned to enter the spare room, not wanting to be a bother or a burden for Bruce to carry. But he stopped at the threshold of the door. They were married. They were bonded. That meant that they were suited to each other. Something had been the common thread that had let fate bind them together. He knew that was not something humans had, except in myths. The disbelief, as the Earth diplomat skeptically taunted about a red string of fate. There was no reason for Bruce to believe him, following him to this arrangement as he had. But he must have felt something to do so, and Kal felt it so blindly he couldn't ignore it. He turned back and went to the main bedroom. He stood in the doorway for a moment, looking at Bruce where he lay on the bed. The blanket covered him up to his waist in a swath of tan, the fibers on it woven unevenly so there was a visible texture to it. Bruce was holding a slim device that Kal knew to be some kind of computing technology, and set on Bruce's face were a pair of glasses, the frames small and silver, and the lenses oval. The light from the moon reflected off of them, obscuring Bruce's eyes and highlighting the small amount of gray in his hair. Bruce looked up, and when he saw Kal, he smiled. It was smaller, thinner, but it shone as bright as the moonlight. A soft, tentative pleasure grew in Cal's chest, like the first tinder of a fire catching a blaze.
"Finally turning in?" Bruce asked.
No hesitation, no hint of discontent, only an easy acceptance. Bruce reached over and flipped back the corner of the blanket on the other side of the bed. Cal's face heated as a small grin broke him free from his worries, the low flames that always came with seeing Bruce in bed flickering to life. He took the invitation and slid into bed next to Bruce. They weren't touching. The bed was large enough to fit four people, and a good thing, too. Kal might have been bold enough to sleep in the same bed as Bruce, to come into the room unprompted, but embracing Bruce, uninvited, was a hurdle for another day. Kal made himself comfortable. He laid back and turned to face the wall, the faint glow of Bruce's device still faintly illuminating the room. It was a cool light, but something about it, about this easy scene, put Kal to rest. As he drifted off to sleep, he realized why he was so comforted just before dreamless rest took him. It was the rhythm of Bruce's calm breathing beside him. Bruce jolted awake as a scream echoed around the room. Cal wasn't in the bed. Bruce's mind raced. He could have been kidnapped. Bruce was sure there were many people who would pay good money to have their own personal oddity. A low, pained groan had Bruce's head snapping towards it. In an instant, he was out of the bed, and he saw Cal sprawled out on the ground, his hands clasped firmly over his ears. His breathing was ragged, and Bruce was startled to see that the Kryptonian was shaking. Bruce knelt down next to Cal and placed a hesitant hand on his back. When the Kryptonian didn't flinch away, Bruce let his touch become more sure. "Cal," he called out, voice soft and coaxing. The other man flinched as soon as the words left Bruce's lips. He frowned and tried again. "What's wrong?" Cal recoiled from Bruce again and let out a small whimper, pressing his hands even harder against his ears. It took a moment to click, and Bruce felt like an idiot when it did. Cal had talked to him about this that afternoon. Cal's head jerked around to look at the window, stopping mid-sentence in his description of Krypton's flora and fauna. When Bruce turned to look, he saw nothing. "Cal?" he asked. But the Kryptonian kept his eyes on the window. Bruce stood, concern building in his chest. Bruce placed a hand on Cal's shoulder, and the other man flinched back, his head swiveling to look at him, his eyes wide as if he didn't even realize Bruce had moved. "Is something wrong?" Bruce asked, and Cal winced again, and his hand flew up and pressed against the bridge of his nose, with such force that the skin around it turned white. "Just stay quiet, please," Cal said through gritted teeth. "Please, give me a moment." They stood in silence, Cal's harsh breathing juxtaposing harshly with the idyllic picture around them. Then, just as suddenly as the moment started, it ended. Cal went boneless, all the tension that had twisted his body up melted away, and his head fell back to rest against the couch. Cal's skin was pale. He looked tired. "Sorry," Cal said, his voice quiet. He looked up and met Bruce's eyes, and a weary smile crept onto the Kryptonian's face. It was genuine, and it struck Bruce to his core. This virtual stranger, who bore himself so completely unto him, cut himself open and left his heart bare for Bruce to see. "It's the sun. Krypton is under a red sun, and we react differently to a yellow sun. I guess you would say it gives us unique powers." Bruce stood there, shocked, as Cal told him about these abilities, or at least what little Cal knew of them. Of course Bruce already knew the basics, but Cal didn't know that Bruce knew. Cal sat there so casually as he spoke to Bruce about his hearing spiking, as he told Bruce what should by all rights be a secret, things he should hold close to his chest in case something went wrong, things Bruce would hold close for that very reason. "I don't have much control over it right now." Cal frowned briefly and brought a hand up to massage his forehead again. But when he looked back at Bruce, he smiled and said, "I'll get the hang of it soon, I'm sure." Bruce could feel Cal's trepidation. He also had a rising suspicion that this effusive reassurance was directly in response to the unease growing in Bruce's chest. He just didn't know whether Cal had even realized that they were sharing feelings to some extent, or if the Kryptonian was doing it reflexively. Yes, Cal had told Bruce about the headaches throughout the day, but Bruce had not expected this. Cal hunched over on the floor, hearing dialed so high that even a whisper from Bruce overwhelmed him. Bruce's mind raced, discarding idea after idea of how to help, before he landed on one that might possibly work. He wrapped his arms around Cal and pulled him up to lean against Bruce's chest. Cal fell against him easily, pressing himself against Bruce until there was no space between them. Bruce's heart stuttered before he got a hold of himself and forced it to beat steadily again. "Cal, try to focus on my heart," Bruce whispered, so quiet he could barely hear it himself. Cal cringed at the words, but pressed himself closer to Bruce's chest, his head resting right over Bruce's heart. Bruce didn't know if it would work, but he could feel Cal's emotions, and he suspected Cal could do the same to him. He concentrated, focused on a sense of calm, and tried to push it towards Cal. It seemed to work. Cal's body relaxed. The stiffness that encompassed his body before slowly relaxed, muscle by muscle, until Cal melted into him. Eventually, Cal's hand slid off of his ears, and his breathing slowed down until it matched Bruce's own. They sat there, Cal's head on Bruce's chest, Bruce's arms cradling Cal against him. It was intimate, something closer than what they had shared during sex. Bruce comforting Cal, seeing the other man stripped down in a different way, physically vulnerable as well as emotionally. Time seemed to pass slowly. The only sound in the room was their breathing. Bruce felt like he was wrapped in a cocoon of contentment, a feedback loop of Cal's feelings flowing into him, and his looping back into Cal. Eventually, Cal shifted. He leaned away from Bruce and smiled, the relief he felt playing on his face. Then, Cal reached out, his hand cupping Bruce's face. Bruce froze, and all too quickly, Cal leaned in and kissed him. It was soft at first, barely a press of lips to lips. But it quickly changed, Cal pressing in harder, turning the kiss more passionate. Bruce leaned into it instinctively, feeding on Cal's own passion and returning the other man's fervor before his mind could catch up. But as soon as it did, he gently pushed Cal away. The Kryptonian let out a frustrated grunt at being rebuffed.
"You don't have to thank me for helping," Bruce said.
The idea that Cal thought he owed him this for his help made Bruce's gut churn with dread. He didn't want to know what he had done to make Cal think of him that way. He had been trying to push the other man away, but he hadn't wanted it to lead to this. Cal leaned back in, wrapping a hand around Bruce's neck. And in his shock, Cal was able to move him forwards and kiss him. Bruce pushed him away again, more firmly this time.
"Cal, you don't owe me this."
Bruce tried to keep his voice firm, but dismay colored his words. Cal growled, actually growled, his throat reverberating in a way a human one could not replicate.
"Please, Bruce, I need this,"
Cal pleaded, his voice hoarse. The words reframed the situation. Cal wasn't doing this because he thought he owed Bruce this. Rather, it was a grasp for control. Bruce faltered. This wasn't exactly a healthy coping method, but he understood it. Cal had had all choices taken away from him. He was chosen by his people to represent them, sent to a different world where he wasn't even granted the choice of choosing his husband. And if something deep inside him railed at the thought, and if it was that glowing thing inside his chest that tied him to Cal in a way he had never experienced before, he silenced it quickly. Cal was losing control of his body through new emerging powers in a possible pregnancy. Something rose up in Bruce like waves at high tide, trying to grab him and drag him out into the deep, but he firmly pushed it down. He didn't have time to think about it. This was something Cal could control. So, Bruce let him do it. They rose from the floor and climbed back into bed, Cal fumbling with the buttons on Bruce's shirt.
Krypton didn't have buttons.
Bruce's mind flashed back to helping Cal figure them out, teaching the man how to button a shirt for the first time. Cal growled again in frustration and grabbed the shirt by the button placket and pulled, tearing the buttons off the shirt. Cal pushed Bruce down on the bed, with a force that was wildly out of character for what Bruce knew of the other man. Cal quickly shimmied out of his pants, then settled on Bruce's hips, one leg on either side of him, and heat burned in Bruce's gut, setting him alight, a fire burning, burning, burning in him. Something he hadn't felt in a liaison for years. Bruce leaned up and captured Cal's mouth in a bruising kiss. He slid his hands under the other man's shirt, pulling it off over Cal's head, revealing muscles straight out of a sculpture by Michelangelo. Bruce ran a hand over Cal's flank and stopped to grope one of his pecs before he slid his hand slowly upwards. But Cal asserted himself. He grabbed Bruce's hand and put it back over his chest. and Bruce could do nothing but oblige him. He ran a finger over Cal's nipple, the touch feather light. He was rewarded when Cal gasped and pushed his chest further into Bruce's hand. He brought his other hand up to Cal's other nipple and flicked them both at the same time, and Cal keened and ground down onto Bruce's growing erection.
Fuck!
Bruce gasped as he felt the wetness from Cal's cunt soaking through his boxers. His hips bucked up reflexively, and Cal ground down again before lifting off of Bruce and chanting, "Off, off, off!" as he pulled at the waistband of Bruce's silk sleep pants. He complied and lifted his hips, Cal pulling Bruce's pants down to his thighs and leaving them there. Cal paused for a moment, looking down to study Bruce's exposed cock. Bruce was ready to stop, to calm down and help Cal just go to sleep, but before he could open his mouth to mention it, Cal reached forward and grasped Bruce's dick. Cal gave it an experimental stroke, his gaze intent. He adjusted his grip, holding Bruce's cock tighter, and when he stroked down, Bruce groaned. Cal's eyes snapped to his, and the heat in them wound Bruce up even higher. Cal stroked Bruce's dick faster, his confidence growing, and Bruce couldn't help but thrust up into the Kryptonian's grip. When Cal stopped, he brought his hands up to his lips and sucked a finger that was wet with Bruce's pre-cum into his mouth.
Fuck.
Bruce groaned again. Cal's eyes didn't leave his as he pulled his finger out from between his lips.
Fuck. They were so red, and Bruce couldn't look away.
Cal reached for Bruce's cock again, and then the other man lifted his hips as he slid down onto it. Bruce gasped as Cal's tight, wet heat enveloped him, and he had to grit his teeth to stop himself from thrusting up into Cal immediately. Bruce shouldn't have worried, because as soon as Cal bottomed out, he lifted himself up again, his powerful thighs flexing as he did. Bruce sat up and pulled Cal into a sloppy kiss, leaning his head down to suck and bite at Cal's neck. The Kryptonian moaned, but his pace didn't falter. Cal grabbed one of the hands that was bracketing his waist and brought it up to his chest again. Cal taking charge like this shouldn't have Bruce so wound up, his cock throbbing so hard he was worried he would come before Cal was done with him. It did, though. Cal had been sweet, submissive, even after his hesitancy dissipated some after their first time. But he had never been confident like this, moving Bruce where he wanted him and taking what he needed. A small gasp was punched out of Bruce as Cal ground down again, flexing his muscles so his cunt tightened around him. Bruce leaned in and bit Cal's lip, and they both moaned. Bruce wasn't going to last. He took a hand off of Cal's chest and reached down for the other man's cock, jerking him in time to Bruce's thrusts. Cal's movements became more and more erratic, until he gasped, his cunt clenching rhythmically around Bruce's cock as he came. Bruce thrust up into Cal's heat 1, 2, 3 more times, and he followed him into climax. Cal fell forward onto Bruce's chest and gasped, his arms wrapping around Bruce's neck. He slowly lowered them both onto the bed, and Cal's arms wound tighter around Bruce's neck to stop him from moving. Bruce didn't know if it was just Cal, or a general Kryptonian thing, but the other man didn't like it when Bruce pulled out right away. He acquiesced and stayed where he was until Cal started to drift off. He gently pulled out and readjusted the Kryptonian, so they were both more comfortable. Just before Bruce faded out of consciousness, he felt vibrations rumble through his chest that meant Cal had started to purr again. The rhythmic sound followed him into sleep. Bruce's dreams were filled with the burning red that was so vibrant, so warm, that he could do nothing but glow in response. Blue and red wound around each other, blending into a vivid purple that just felt right.